What's going on, everyone? Kevin Wagstaff here with Spectora Spotlight. This week, I am super excited for this one. We have Joey Donofrio on the podcast, and we broke this up into two episodes because he is owner of one of the biggest inspection firms in the country and just has so much energy and knowledge. So we broke the first half up to be mostly single inspector or small multi-inspector focused, and the second episode geared more towards the big multis and kind of the problems they face at scale. Joey is a very accessible, open individual, so I recommend everyone reach out to him if you have questions. He's someone everyone can learn from, but I hope you enjoy this episode with Joey Donofrio. Joey, what's going on, man? How you been?
Good, Kevin. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for doing this again. For those that saw the first time we chatted, the audio was terrible. We were in our old office, which had a ton of echo. So we thought we'd do it again. So thanks for taking the time again. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, definitely.
So what is the last, 9 months? What's happened over the last 9 months?
Well, it's funny. Like a lot of changes that we've started doing just by growing. You know, we have around 12 licensed inspectors now. I have two in training, and then I have two more that we just hired that are starting November 5th. To hopefully train them and get them prepared, so when the spring season hits, we're really going to be very busy. Because I'm tired of like paying other people to train these guys to get certified or licensed with the state, we're in the process of developing coursework to start offering pre-licensing classes on our own. So it's going to be a whole nother branch of training and home inspector training. And so I'm really excited about that other step. Because we're at a point now where adding an inspector isn't really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Just find the right person. That's the hardest part. And then just put them through the system. And then we're able to have good inspectors through that if we hire the right person.
Wow. So you're
embarking. That's what we're doing. So that's what I'm really excited about. That's like the next step of what we're trying to branch out and do and just get into that training and institute. Because a lot of my feedback from a lot of our inspectors after they've, you know, they're with us for a couple months before we send them to the class. It's like the last thing we send them to, so they can have the certificate to get licensed. They'd be like, oh my God, we know so much more than all these people. The instructor's asking, having us come up and teach part of the class and give our experiences and all this stuff. And I'm just like, wow, if that's the case, then I think we can do a lot better job than some of these guys that are out there training.
Yeah.
And keep it in-house. And then that way I'm not paying $2,000 to get one of my guys trained to sit in the course.
Yeah.
That he's not really learning anything. And we have to be like, hey, really don't really listen to that and come back here. And we just did that to get the certification.
Right. And you guys have the name and hopefully the resources to be able to, I don't know, put a dent or improve processes in that space. Cause it's kind of fragmented. The education.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things where it's funny how it all happens. Like we needed a change, and we needed to cut costs, and it was just like almost like a natural part of our growth. Like, oh, this is what we should be doing next because we do know a lot about this.
Yeah. Well, very cool. And we'll get into this a lot more. I have some more deeper questions on kind of this new frontier for you guys. But we're gonna try and break this off into two episodes, and so the first one. We're going to see if we could launch you back in time or even in the future if you were in alternate reality as a new inspector. But kind of what you're seeing as you hire these new inspectors, right? Because these new inspectors probably have the choice of work for Donofrio & Associates or go out on my own. What is that kind of conversation like, or is that something that even happens?
Well, for us, if they're coming through the hiring process, they obviously made the decision that they want to learn from either an experienced firm first, mm-hmm. or they understand that the cost of going out and getting business. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand or they do understand what it takes to start a business from scratch, and it's a lot of activity without mm-hmm. seeing immediate results.
Right.
You know, and I think most people would just rather say, "Oh, here's my inspections for the day." Go and do them rather than, oh, I got to go to like 100 or I don't know, 20, 50 real estate offices before business starts coming in and put my face out there, put myself out there, and face rejection. Because you go into these offices, not every person that walks in the office is going to get a presentation. Right.
Right.
So
right.
It's the cost of your time. It's the cost of what it takes to start up a business. It's all those things that if they come and work for a big company like us, we take care of all that. We give them health insurance. They don't have to go out and get their own. A lot of people that start off on their own, they don't have health insurance right away.
Yeah.
They don't have income coming in, or hopefully they have a spouse that maybe has that health insurance. Oh, I'm on my spouse. I think that gives you a little bit of advantage, but you know, for insurances, car, you know, the wear and tear on your car, it's a big, big expense that when you come to a multi-inspector firm, I don't think your paychecks seem as big, but it really is because you're not having all these other expenses.
True.
So that's the biggest thing. We have the government, and the government gives those nice cushy job with the benefits. And so
yep.
We try to do the same thing for our employees just to kind of compete with them and give people that security.
I like it. I like it. Let's dig more into this. I just realized also we have a lot of new listeners and people that subscribe to the podcast. Let's just give them your quick backstory and kind of tell them a little bit of who you guys are. Cause I think some folks, you know, with home inspection being such a fragmented industry, a lot of people don't know of these mega inspection firms around the country. You guys are definitely one of them. So let's tell them a little bit about your backstory and kind of how you guys came up.
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in this industry. My dad actually started this business 17 years ago, and it was like my job in middle school, high school, college. I never could get out of work. I never had a weekend where like I wasn't being pulled no matter what I did the night before. And I watched my dad build a business going out to real estate offices in the beginning, but then he had a good word of mouth reputation where he would just stay very busy every single year. And it was just him. And then when my brother graduated college, he joined him with no marketing, just joined him. And then they stayed busy because it was just overflow. It was the Donna Frio name. And then when I joined again, it just was like, oh, we're busy. Wow. This is amazing how this works. You have a good reputation. You add people. And then I got to a point where, you know, we always had doubts about like, well, if we hire somebody outside of family, will they ever be able to do it as good as us and all this stuff, all the fears that we tell ourselves, you know, all the excuses we make. And then I just got, you know, I met my wife in 2013, or I got reacquainted with her in 2013, started dating her. And I realized I'm like looking at my life 30 years from now, and I'm saying, I don't want to do this forever. I don't want to just keep doing inspections. You know, we were lucky enough to be so busy. We're doing like 3 and 4 a day. My brother goes away on vacation. And it was like, okay, Joey, you got to pick up the slack. And you just got to like 7 days a week.
Figure it out.
And me and my dad and my brother were doing it. We would only take one day off a week unless we were like vacation or something. So my day off was Sunday. And I'll never forget when I got a second day off, it was like, oh my gosh, this is so much time. Because I was used to that one day. But I just realized I wanted more. And I was a business degree in college and all that stuff. And I always wanted to do more of that stuff. I was a finance major, wealth management. That always like intrigued me. But then I realized that, hey, I have this incredible vehicle. If my dad will allow me to like have a vision on it, and thank God he did. So in 2015, me and my wife, I was always telling them, I'm like, we need to get around other inspection companies that are growing so we can like see what they're doing and then like copy them, copy and make it our own. And so in 2015, we went to Las Vegas. I think it was like the Inspection World Conference. Mm-hmm. And I got around some of these big, big companies, like Jerry Linkhorn. You know, I saw Mike Crow and did all this stuff. And I saw it. I'm like, oh my God. If they're able to do this, and some people were like from Utah and all parts of the country, I'm like, wow, we live in like Northern Virginia. Like if they're able to grow, why can't we do it? And it gave me and my wife tons of hope. And like literally probably like this first or second day we got back, we just started hiring. We hired somebody. And we didn't have them fill out the right paperwork. It was funny. Like all the things you learn as you go through the process,
figure it out,
things you're able to perfect. And so we just started growing it was good for the first couple hires. And then we realized, okay, now if we're going to keep growing, we need a system in place or a process in place to get new business to market. And so then we just started realize, okay, now we have to go out and be visible to realtor. We need to start making videos on Facebook, doing all that stuff, putting ourselves out there, doing office presentations again. All these things need to be done. And so we kind of restarted, like if we were starting from scratch to get new business. And now I mainly do office presentations. I have two marketers that go out and their whole goal is to just get new business and get office presentations. I'm able to teach continuing education credits to realtors. So I teach a lot of classes. Most of my weeks I'm teaching classes. If I'm not doing an office presentation, I only do office presentations now if it's more than 15 realtors. So if they're guaranteeing 15 or more, I'll go. But if it's 15 or less, then my two marketers will do the presentation. And it's amazing. How much it's grown and how much busier we are. Like, I'm always looking compared to last year to this year.
Yep.
I'm like,
yep.
As long as we're beating the weeks, that's the goal.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And we are. And so that's key. If, you know, even if you're a single man shop and you're a double man or whatever, you have three and you just think, oh, well, we just stay busy. You know, there's a rule that you're either growing or dying. And if you're not growing and you're not going out and getting new realtors and you're not keeping track of the new realtors you're bringing on, then you're dying. Because all that needs to happen is a recession, a downturn in the economy, any one of those things, you're out of business or you're firing people and you're going back to the single, then you're starting from scratch again. I read a book, I think it was a Brian Buffini book, The Biz and Small Business or something. And they was talking about that. And I read it and I'm like, hiring another marketing person, boom.
Yeah.
And really it's been amazing to have that person. I mean, it's just been incredible. Like it's like you duplicate in that area where they're going and they're at events and meeting people. And again, you hire the right person and it makes your life a lot easier. They take ownership over it. You treat them well. That's all the key. But so that's where we are. So now we went from three of us in 2015. I believe we were doing like just under $1 million in revenue, maybe a little less than, you know, 700,000, 900,000. And now this year we're going to be right around 2.7, 2.8. So right around 3 million. We're going to do just under 5,000 inspections. We'll be right around 45 to 47. I need to check the numbers. And then next year we'll be over 5,000. If we keep it at the rate that we're going, and we'll be over 3 million. So.
Amazing.
That's cool. That's really cool to say.
Yeah, exactly. Congratulations. Unreal. And I wanted you to share that again. I know the story, but to hear it again, and for all these new listeners to understand just how much you guys have accomplished in a short amount of time. Like it's insane.
Yeah. I think what most people, they don't realize is they want to get things perfect. And I was so thankful for my dad because he just took his hands off. And for a business owner, somebody that has invested so much into it. And again, he never had a vision to grow it. He just was doing it for income. For him to just give me like kind of full access and say, hey, if you want to do this, you do it full reins is huge. And I think that's what holds people back is one, they're not taking action. And two, they're holding on too tight. If you have to micromanage people and you have to micromanage your employees, either you didn't hire the right person or you didn't train them properly. You should never have to micromanage if you want to make, because you're going to find out if you hire the right people and you let them use their own brain, they're going to do things and find more efficient ways than you probably could.
Yeah.
Then you're not capable. Then you don't have the capacity to do it. Everybody's brain works differently and they all have a uniqueness to them and they bring a whole nother value. Like we're putting this coursework together and I'm blown away every time I get a slide. Like after I put the content and I have my team put it in like a slide format, I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. I never do something like this. Like,
you hired the right people.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm like, this is amazing. So,
amazing stuff. Let's go back to those early days. So you just glossed over an amazing thing when you said, oh yeah, my dad's business, he just kept growing it and growing it year after, you know, those early years. Does he ever talk about what was attributed to that growth when it was just him and your brother? Like what helped them keep that reputation?
Well, so I don't think my dad was really growing in the early years until my dad started in 2001. My brother didn't start doing inspections full time probably till like 2006, 2007. Okay. So it was just him earning an income.
So how did he even earn an income and maintain those agents?
He just was if you ever meet my dad, he's just a great personality. And this is why I always tell people, if you get people to like you, they're less likely to complain about you than rather doing great inspection.
Huge
I think my
lesson.
Dad's a great inspector, but it was more his personality than anything else.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what he was able to maintain. He was just, he understood, he was a business guy. So he had started a couple of businesses. So he just understood customer service. He understood who we're working for. Like, yeah, we're working for the client, but really we need to make the agent happy. So he was really great at satisfying the agent's needs and wants, so the deal could go through and then the clients, they can move forward.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a deal killer. He wasn't an alarmist. You know, home inspectors really shouldn't be giving their opinions on inspections. They need to be stating the facts and give people information, and then they can make an informative decision. I can't make a decision for somebody.
Right.
I don't know their finances. I don't know their, you know, what home they can afford, all this stuff. So it's not up to me to make that decision. It's like if somebody wants to, Joey, should I get a radon? Well, here are the facts. You know, 30% of homes with below ground basements have levels above 4.0. You give them the facts and you say, and now it's up to you if you want to get a radon test.
Right.
And they tell you, no, I don't want to. Oh yeah, you know what? That makes sense. We need to get it. And it's the same thing when you're home inspecting. You know, you should never be influencing with your opinions the nature of the deal. And I think my dad was really great at that.
Yeah.
And he had just a great following. People loved him. He told jokes. He was just a personality. And I think that's what sustained his growth. He wasn't perfect. You know, he made mistakes. People complained at times. Yeah.
Is that something, and that's what a lot of times I see guys coming into the industry, going out, I see companies grow, you know, in our time. Is that something that can be taught? Is that something you're going to try to implement with, you know, the stuff you're creating with the educational stuff? Can you teach likability and customer service? Like it's always an interesting concept.
Yeah. I think anybody can learn how to be more likable and
be more relatable. Yeah.
Now I can't change people's attitude. I mean, I can try to influence people's attitude. So, you know, when you're hiring people, you're looking, hey, are they happy? Are they smiling? You know, if you're at a restaurant or however you do your interview, are they saying thank you after they order something? Are they saying proper manners? I'm big on that. I think customer service is key. And I have every interview that I do, I always at least get to touch the interview on the end. I'm brought in after they go through certain number of stages through our interview process. And I ask them, I say, hey, you know, customer service is huge. I explain the importance of it. And sometimes you're going to deal with these bad customers that are going to be over your shoulder. They're going to be asking questions. They're going to be annoying. You know, they're going to drive you crazy. And give me an experience in your work, you know, your work arena that you've worked where you've taken one of those customers, maybe a bad situation. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, building related or home inspection, it could be any industry where you had to deal with a difficult customer, and walk me through the steps from when they started being difficult and how you reacted and what did you do to ease the situation. And I love hearing people's response to that. You know, that to me tells me a lot about somebody, and that's a big question.
That's a huge question. I love it.
Service. You know, it's not the easy customers that we need to be satisfied. It's those, even though they're the 5 or 10 percenters, that we're dealing with, those are the difficult ones. And so how do you deal with the difficult ones is key for me. So,
yeah. And that's a question I think every home inspector, anyone in any business should be asking themselves weekly, daily, monthly, whatever it is, of how do I handle, what's my customer service experience like, right? I don't think enough inspectors think about that.
No, I don't, you know, I don't, I think a lot of new inspectors, they're so focused on doing a good inspection for the client, and they don't, sometimes I'm on inspection groups, so are you, and I see some of these things that come through and I'm like, oh my God, you know, there's no business sense, and they're so focused on the inspection that they lose focus of all the other areas, the areas that are going to actually keep giving them inspections and getting them business.
And that's humans. You know,
So what I would tell a new inspector who's just starting out, you need to get your inspections to 2 to 3 hours, and you need to be positive. You need to please both the realtor and the client. Understand that the real estate agent is a representative of the buyer. The buyer has signed away saying they're representing me. So they're both, you're really your client. If you want
true.
To be
very
literal,
true.
I mean, they're both your client.
You have to think of it that way. Yep.
And you need to balance. I'm not telling you to lie, cheat, steal on home inspections, but if we're being realistic, 95% of everything we're finding on home inspections is manageable stuff. You know, and we're not supposed to be blowing things out of proportion and getting crazy. And I think at the end of the day, our goal was to make the agent happy and make their clients happy. At after the inspection, I want those clients to use that agent again on the next deal. And I want them to say, wow, that home inspection company was so great. We want to bring them in for our home inspection. Even when things don't go well, sometimes it does go well, but how you handle situations tells a lot about people. And I love when we handle a situation where things don't go well and they're like, oh, wow, because you did it like that, we're definitely going to use you on the next inspection. That's the end goal. And if you keep that in mind, I think you'll be very successful. Now, if you're trying to grow, and I was thinking about this, you have to do something, anything that if you're doing 4 and 5 hour inspections, you're going to duplicate 4 and 5 hour inspections.
Right.
So if you're struggling, because I see them on the inspection groups, if you're struggling and you're doing a 4 and 5 hour inspection, number one, get with people and talk with them about their process of how they are doing it in 2 to 3 hours.
Right.
You know, there's always outliers that are going to take 3.5, 4 hours, but those better be big homes or a lot of issues or first time home buyers that are asking a lot of questions.
Right.
Get it to 2 to 3 hours. And then once you do that, now you have an inspection process that can be duplicatable and efficient. And now then you have to start, because anything you do is going to be duplicated. How you're answering the phones, how you're doing all that. You're going to have to train somebody to do that.
Yep.
And then if you keep growing, then you're going to have to duplicate that process. So the first time you do it, it's hard, but as you grow, make sure you're documenting everything. But that's what I would tell a first-time inspector. Get it down to 2 to 3 hours, have an inspection process that's duplicatable, and then now you can begin to hiring inspectors and doing all that.
Yeah.
It's one part.
I love the first step, because you're right. If you're spending multiple hours at home after the report, it's part of the reason why we've seen growth is that guys are moving on, because they're getting that inspection time down. And that's a very real thing. I think the problem is a lot of inspectors have trouble breaking their habits. They have trouble trying something new, thinking about it a different way, and they get in their own way. And those are some of the ones that I think stop themselves from doing the 2 to 3 hour inspections.
Yeah, definitely. And anytime, if you want to grow, you're an inspector and you're doing 400, 300, 400, 500 inspections a year, you're at a point where you can grow.
Yeah.
But you are going to have to take some steps back to move forward, because you have to start working on your business. And unless you're doing those in off hours and all that stuff, you're going to have to start doing less inspections so you can have those hours in your day to plan to start growing, to hire a new person. You know, that's one of the things that killed me. I don't have time to hire anybody. I don't have time to do this stuff. And they just don't get it. And it is frustrating because you can't change people.
Right.
You can only say, hey, well, I suggest maybe get around people who are growing, listen to them, and do what they do. You know, because there's always an excuse of why you can't do something.
Yeah, we're all busy.
But there are also plenty of reasons why you should do something. One is reason why I get to spend no time. I'm too busy writing reports. I do 5 hour inspections. These guys that are doing 2 and 3 hours, they must have so much liability and all this stuff. It's like, it's crazy to me, because they're talking amongst themselves rather than with the people that are doing it.
Right.
So be a copycat. Copy the people that are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah,
everyone's different. You know, where you get me around 3 other home and multi-inspector owners, our companies aren't the same. We run things differently. We probably do pay people differently. They're different. And you have to do what's right for you and have your own culture of what's right for you. But it doesn't make my way wrong. It doesn't make the other guy wrong or right.
Yeah.
So, you know, get around people that are growing. Find people that are willing to help. And there are people that are willing to help. I mean, you go to a conference, go to the inspection conference, get around these people. You're going to find so many great people that are there to help. They're not inferior of other inspection companies that are growing and all that stuff.
Yeah. I've sent you multiple inspectors. I don't know if they ended up calling you or following through, but I tell them, I say, these people that have this knowledge that seem to be very willing to share it, go seek them out. And I think, you know, there's ego involved. Some people's egos don't let them do that.
Nervous, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. The growth mindset is hard to impose on someone.
They have
to be willing to seek it out.
Yeah, or you know, or if you find yourself making excuses, or you're the inspector that says, "Oh, I can't grow," You know, what helped me was starting my personal growth journey of reading, listen to audiobooks, list the sex if you're not going to get it from people, because that'll expand your mindset. And Rick, you realize when you open the door for personal growth, it makes us realize how much we don't know, you know, how much we know we're not know-it-alls, and that we want to keep learning and growing. And so if that's you, start reading Success Principle books, you know, hear from other people out, maybe outside of our industry, that are building dynasties. I mean, you know, my biggest thing is there's nobody self-made. Everybody has helped along the way. You know, people that I think when you look on a Forbes list, you see self-made, it's the biggest lie in the world. And it cheats people out of opportunity and it makes people inferior to go out and chase their dreams. You know, we all need help along the way.
Yeah.
You know, my inspections wouldn't be as quick without you, Kevin. Inspector. I mean, that technology is unreal.
Yeah.
And amazing. We all have, and they come in all sorts and different forms and fashions. We all need people.
Yeah. You know, and
I said, oh yeah, it was all me. Then my wife would smack the shit out of me because she helped me just as much as my vision was. There was so much support, you know, and you need a team of people to help you and push you and rally you and you need that. You just need it.
And you're a voracious reader. That's one thing I love about you is that you keep that beginner mindset that you have more to learn, and you look outside of the home inspection industry because there's this huge world around us of successful companies that are growing, but it's like an echo chamber with a lot of inspectors. And so we're going to link to a list of all of your favorite books, podcasts, shows in the description of this, because I think a lot of people can learn from the things you've read, because even just you telling me what you've read in the past.
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone should be jumping on and like finding these sources of inspiration.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, always be growing. And as a leader, I feel like if I'm not growing as a leader, well, the organization's only going to be as strong as its leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to always make sure I'm evolving, growing as a person. Now, if I want to keep growing my company, if I don't want to grow my company, then bye-bye, right? But then that's going to go downhill and then I risk losing it all. So you always have to just keep growing, keep reading, keep gaining knowledge, keep going to inspection conferences, going to business conferences. Things always change. Nothing maintains the same. And we live in such a fast-paced world now that things are going to change yearly, not just every 5 years, every 10 years. No, every year things are changing. And so I feel like it's my responsibility to always make sure I'm growing myself to better lead people, because I'm not a perfect leader. No one's perfect, but I'm growing. And that's one thing my team can count on, is that I'm always going to be growing, always evolving and finding the best ways to grow. One of the books I'm reading right now, Extreme Ownership, talks about taking ownership over your whole organization, over everybody's decisions and everything. And it's written by a Navy SEAL. The Navy SEAL, he was responsible for a blue on blue. And that's when friendly fire, you know, people on the mm-hmm. same team attack each other or whatever. He was the commanding officer. And he said, I got done this. We had a blue on blue. I was so devastated. I couldn't believe what happened. There's people injured. A Navy SEAL's face got all messed up. And he goes, I was trying. I knew there would be questions. I had to write out the whole scenario and figure who was responsible. He goes, I couldn't figure out who was responsible. And then I realized, I'm the one that's responsible.
It was me.
It was me. I'm the commanding officer. I'm responsible. I might not have started it, but I didn't make it clear enough. And I used that in a meeting. You know, we had an issue. We were rolling out a program within our company, and and one person was really upset or voiced his opinion in a negative way at our meeting. And I'm like, oh, he's such a jerk. You know, I can't believe him. He just has such a crappy attitude. And I realized something. By reading this book, it was my fault that I didn't express what was going on clearly enough, because I knew why we were doing it. He did not. And I need to be more transparent with what I'm bringing down. So even the lowest person or like every person understands it. And if I can't make it simple and transparent for somebody who doesn't get it, then I'm not doing a good job as a leader. And so we had a meeting. I apologized for not being transparent and said, hey, going forward, I'm going to be more transparent.
Leadership.
Why we're doing something.
Leadership.
Because I'm not doing anything to screw people, take advantage of people. And that's was I think that's what was being interpreted. Like, oh, they're just taking advantage of da 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 da. And no, I want to grow. I want more opportunity for the guys. I want to promote more people. I want to do all this. My intentions are really good. They're not like that, and it wasn't explained properly. So I learned that from a book. I'm actually still listening to reading. Yeah, so it's great. You have to keep growing. Keep reading.
I want to go back to something you touched on earlier about not making sure things are perfect, because I think this is a big difference between, say, a business major like you or I and someone that came up from the trades, like a plumber, a handyman, construction, right? They're focused on defects and what's wrong. And that's what holds inspectors back mindset-wise sometimes. So I want to see what you would tell someone, or if you hired someone that doesn't have that business background or that growth mindset of just leap and you'll figure it out. I think it holds a lot of inspectors back. So like, what would you say to the new inspector that has a hard time just not waiting till things are perfect, or waiting till things are perfect to grow?
So when we hire inspectors, I always tell them, I say, you're never going to be 100% ready. No one ever is. And you just have to take, and we're going to put you out there and you're going to learn on the fly. That's the best way to do things, you know? And that's when we started growing. We learned so much on the fly of things that needed to be improved right on process. And we had to, then there was a sense of urgency to do it because we were like in it. But now it's like seamless. So for those people that are scared to grow, you're never going to be perfect. I think action is key. So you always, with whatever you're doing, you have to start taking action towards growing. If you want to grow, start not yesterday, not tomorrow, not the next day. Start today on taking action to grow. Because once you start moving the wheels, it's going to happen. If you try to get everything perfect or try to get all the information properly, you're going to paralyze yourself into not even taking action. And then a month's going to go by. And then 2 months is going to go by. And then excuses are going to roll in. You just have to take action. When me and Stephanie got back from that conference, we were like, boom, I was like so fired up, and I took action.
What were the sum of those actions?
Just started hiring people. I mean, I just like, boom, hire. We implemented a call center to answer our phone calls and all this stuff. And the call center was great. But then I learned, hey, I'm not in control of the customer service that's being provided. Mm-hmm. So I learned, okay, boom, it helped us in the short term, but it wasn't part of the long term. And so we started hiring transaction coordinators or schedulers for our business. And that's how we kind of did. I mean, and then you just evolve. And then I remember if I showed you like somebody's first payment plan, it was ridiculous. Now it's like detailed, didn't have any job descriptions. Now I have like job descriptions for every position, because I needed the people to write them, right? Yeah. So I hired a good team of people that was able to help me and lay it out and walk us through it all. And I mean, it's just crazy.
Did you ever,
it's insane.
Did you ever get ahead of the hiring in terms of like, cause I know every single inspector is like, oh, I'm busy, I'm making money, I don't want to overhire too fast and then not be able to pay them or have the job. Like at what point did you say, okay, they have X amount of months of runway that I can pay them, and then I'll go backfill the business in? Like, what was that thought process like?
Like just trying to pay people, like not having the money to pay.
Yeah. You said you got back from the conference and you started hiring people. Some people would say like, well, of course you must've had the money to pay them, but how does thought process
we
go?
Pay like a base for training. And so I think how we did it was we realized like as business owners, we needed to like, so we restructured our payment process so we could have money in the bank. So like, I think we're like a single man shop. They might not have a business account. Mm-hmm. They might just have their personal account where the money just comes and then it goes, right? So I would say the first thing you need to do is start paying yourself a salary. You know, you need to have your money that comes in, business growth money, or one third for business growth, and then one third in a business savings.
Okay.
Or for marketing material or expenses. You need to separate your money.
Yeah.
I think that's if you're having trouble doing that and finding, because if you don't have good financial practice, if you don't have it separated out and all that stuff, and you're just money comes into your personal account and it just leaves.
Yep.
That's really scary, especially when you start hiring people. So get yourself on a salary as a business owner, start funneling part of your income away to grow, and then that money can be used for growth. Yep. We were really so busy that the help that we you know, that with adding another person, it really didn't take away from our finances, because we just had the volume. And so adding someone, it was actually nice to have somebody, once you got them up and running, helping you on the inspection.
Yeah, you hired late. You know,
made the inspection a little bit quicker as you're training them. But yeah, the first hire we had, it was actually an old buddy that, oh, not a buddy, but he was somebody I knew from college. I met him at a gym, and he was like in between jobs. And he was like, I was like, hey, what about, maybe you should try home inspections. You know, he was having trouble getting a job in his area. Went on a ride along with me and was like, I could do this. And so, boom, we went on a ride along. And it was something that he could do, hired him, put a payment structure together. Again, it was my first time doing this, so it was a little different. And
hey.
But hey, that's what we did. But for those of you that are growing, there are tons of one thing I didn't do is I didn't discuss growth with other multi-inspector firms on how they pay people, you know, and I think that'll save you a lot of money.
Yep.
Talking with them, so you're not overpaying somebody. And you're not necessarily underpaying somebody, so you can be profitable off those inspectors.
Yep.
Because that's key. And then use that money. Whatever your mission is, whatever your goal is, how big of a company you want, you need to use that. That's, again, it's not profit, it's revenue that person's making. And then you need to invest back in your business to grow it to whatever you envision. So everybody's mission's different, everybody's vision's different. And you just have to know what's right for you.
Like it. Say Joey Donofrio gets kicked out on the street by your dad, brothers, exiled from everybody, and you're starting a home inspection company on the other side of the country. 2019 is your launch date. What would you do?
Awesome. I would do everything that I do. I mean, I would go to real estate offices. And, you know, it's funny, like, yeah, yes, it's because one of my college buddies, he's in the financial world, and he does mortgages, and his company is small, and they specialize in flips. And so I'll take the same advice that I gave him. You need to make a list of every real estate brokerage in your area, and you need to buy candy, spend your own money, spend the company money, see if they can give you money, and go in with the whole goal of getting in front of those agents and presenting your services. What do I say? You need to figure out what the value is that you can bring to the table through your inspections, what makes you different, what makes you unique, and bring that up. And, you know, you use those keys on your inspection topics. You know, when I'm doing a presentation in front of a realtor, it is so like seamless. It's not long. But people are like, oh my God, they do all this. Oh my God. I talk about customer service. That's probably my biggest thing. You know, I make one guarantee of during my presentation. I guarantee one thing to them. If you use me long enough, I will make a mistake. We will make a mistake.
Love it.
That's my guarantee. So I'm real with them. I say it's not if a home inspector is going to make a mistake, it's when. Mm-hmm. But you don't need people in your corner when things are going well. You need people in your corner when things don't go well. Character is so hard to judge when things are going well for people, but you throw adversity at somebody and true colors tend to shine. That's what I say on my presentation.
Oh, I love it. That's gold. That's so
and
real.
And then I give examples of a bad situation that happened on an inspection and how we made it right and satisfied the client. And I think that's being real. Most people think they got to get up and tell people how perfect they are. And, oh, we're the best. I never make mistakes. You're lying. Everyone makes mistakes. Every realtor in that office has made mistakes. So have we. So that's exactly what I would do. I would harp on my customer service. I would say, hey, I'm gonna be there to support you. And you have to do that. You can't just say something and not do it. You have to back it up.
Right.
You know, but that's how I'd build it. If I moved out to the West Coast, that's exactly what I would do. I would go to real estate office after real estate office doing those presentations. Once I got to probably I was doing like 200 or 300 inspections a year, I'd probably hire a marketing person right off the bat. Maybe, you know, get somebody to help me with the answering the phone calls. Cause I know I wouldn't be able to keep up eventually, but I think I'd probably hire a marketing person before all that. And then I would just answer my own phone calls and try to return calls as fast as possible until I was doing 400, 500, 600. And then again, have the money. This is starting with no money. Have the money to pay a TC that can then answer the phones, a scheduler that answers the phones for a certain time frame. and pay him hourly, or pay him however, you know. Yeah. I would pay him hourly because, you know, I'd probably to start, and then I would switch him over to like salary. I would have got.
So walking into those offices, I'm guessing you're coming in smiling, shaking hands. You have maybe a branded polo on. Like, there's a lot of intangibles and little things, right, that go into coming in and being likable.
Yeah, it's just being professional. It's being friendly. It's, you know, I think read How to Win Friends and Influence People.
We'll link to it.
Yeah, ask the gatekeeper or the person questions about themselves. Oh, find something that looks good on them, that they dressed up. Oh my God, look at,
yeah,
my wife would look great. You don't have to act like you're hitting on them, but you know,
right.
But those and that's how I would probably do it. And then just say, hey, yeah, oh my God, I would love to come in and do a presentation. You know, we're a unique home, we're the best home inspection in the California area. And I'd love to share how we could add value to the agents, because it's not about us. It's about adding value to them. We have some pretty unique stuff going on with our company. And I think your agents would benefit from me just giving them a quick little 5-10 minute overview of our company to add to the list of preferred home inspectors. And keep it simple. I think a lot of us overthink it.
Yeah.
And we have to be suave or perfect, and we don't. You know, we just, again, genuine action. And what my marketing team is great at is when they get rejected, they still follow up and they still go after those offices. Just because they said no once, you know, my PJ makes a joke. She goes, well, you're going to hear from me again. I'm going to come back. and eventually we get them. And so it's crazy. Be persistent. Just because you get rejected or they say no to a presentation, or they don't call you for the presentation or whatever it is, keep them on your list and go back. Keep funneling, because they're going to say, wow, this guy is persistent. This girl is persistent. You know, wow. I mean, you might wow them into giving a presentation. So have your offices and your immediate territory, whatever your territory wants to be. And I would just go every day to those offices. Boom, boom.
Yep.
And that's what I think that's what you have. That's the organic way of building. And then, you know, as you get money and start doing this, so you can do online stuff, websites, all that stuff. But before all that, I think, you know, if you don't have the funds, you need money coming in to do all that stuff.
And I just want to highlight the personal relationship side. Most people don't know this, but my brother Mike, co-founder, counseling psychology major, so he's a great listener. And most home inspectors just love to talk at you for 45 minutes, right? Going into agents' offices, ask questions, learn about them. That makes them. You got to stroke that ego, right? You got to make them feel heard and actually listen. It's got to be genuine, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly. You have to show people that you care about them.
Right.
I mean, if people know that you care, it's game over.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. You again, read How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's an incredible book about building relationships. And sometimes I catch myself, like, you know, I'll be at the gym in the morning and I'll talk about how bad the workout was at CrossFit, and I realize, like, I'm telling them how bad my workout is rather than, like, them. I should be listening to them at times, you know.
Yeah.
You catch yourself. You're not perfect. Nobody is. But as long as you're aware of that, and you say, oh, well, what about you? Da, 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 da. I always try to take the conversation off me if I possibly can and put it back on them. Well, hey, how you been? Well, what have you doing to get bigger? What are you eating? Or you know, how's business for you? What do you, you know, boom.
How was the real estate market? Simple. I mean, like, that's what you should ask every agent.
Hey, yeah. Do you have kids? Yeah, I have two. What about you? How many kids do you have? Oh, what schools do they go to? Oh, boom. You know, how old? I mean, it's that. And it doesn't take you don't have to be, you can be an introvert and do these things, right?
So just got to get outside of yourself, right?
Yeah, it just takes effort. And you'll hear the best salespeople, like a Grant Cardone, say that he was introverted, that he didn't like, you know, doesn't like being around people, but he does what he needs to do it. So it's anything. If you want to be successful, you can't tell yourself you're an introvert.
Right.
I was doing a presentation and I was like waiting for like to be introduced by a broker. And I don't know, but he was like, what'd he say about me? He goes, oh, the speaker must be an introvert. And I'm like, because I'm not like, I figured because I'm not the one just being, oh, hey guys. Like I thought there was a, we didn't talk about the introduction and I didn't let it bother me because I know that, you know, even if I am introverted, you know, I'm, it's not him to project that on me. Right. Yeah. Don't think that because somebody thinks you're an introvert or calls you an introvert, whether you that you can't not be an introvert. Right.
Right. You can still be a human. You can still care about people's story. Yeah.
And I ask questions to people, yep. You know, even if you're single and you're trying to pick up a girl, the best way to do it is ask them questions about themselves.
Right.
Seriously, you know, right. You don't need some suave pickup line. Hey, how you doing? What'd you have for dinner? Like, what are you drinking? Oh, cool. I love that drink. Da, 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 da. Then ask them another question.
Great analogy. I love it. I love it. All right, that wraps up part one with Joey Donofrio. I hope you all enjoyed it. We're releasing part two along with part one this week, so you can roll right into that. It is going to be geared a little more towards multi-inspectors, but I think something that everyone could still benefit from. So hope you enjoy it.